Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress, and welcome back to part two of the Bendis Tapes November edition, where writer Brian Michael Bendis answers questions from fans at his message board at jinxworld.com. We get more insight into Bendis' Marvel comics like New Avengers, the upcoming Mighty Avengers, Ultimate Spider-Man, updates on Powers from Icon Books, his Jinx World crime noir stories, and the film version's progress on those stories, plus some more jabs at fellow writers Mark Miller and Robert Kirkman. And a new celebrity story that may rank with Brian's famous encounters with Lou Ferrigno. Unlike the usual Word Balloon interviews, I'm just a voice asking the fan questions and doing so at 2 a.m. local time. Every now and then I lower my voice because people in my house were sleeping. Forgive the occasional bumbles, but that's just me and Brenda's talking, and we did our best to adjust the volume. We pick up this Q&A with me asking Brian if he was entered in any of the Spike TV Scream Awards.
Did you go to that?
No, I wasn't. I don't do horror comics. I wasn't.
Okay, that's true. Okay, because you were nominated.
No, I would argue that, you know, Demon Baby and Daredevil was scarier than anything you saw in Millar's work. But still, okay, fine.
Wow.
What? Oh my goodness! What an asshole I am.
Flonk, what's the best part of waking up?
He wants me to pull his in.
I'd say morning wood. That'll be it.
Well, I've got like a 2 month old puppy now, so you got to be careful what's sticking up.
Right.
He's gonna attack.
Stared Craft, or Star Red Craft. First a joke. Are you naturally bald or do you wax regularly?
No, it's a shaving. It's into my head. It's much more than I am.
In your first podcast Q&A, you answered a question I asked about how you feel about Jubilee, and you said you thought she was a dirty whore. Were you serious or were you joking? I mean, it sounded like a joke, but I was just asking. And besides, Joe Quesada told me he thinks she's a fun character.
Well, he likes dirty whores. Next. He asked me a waxing my head question, and then he's upset about my Jubilee answer. That's very funny.
If Gwen and Mary Jane never existed, who would you think would be the girl Peter Parker would most likely marry? Personally, I'd say Black Cat for obvious reasons.
Betty Brant, and it would be a loveless, sexless marriage.
Because she'd be pining for Ned Leeds?
Oh, yeah.
Out of curiosity, what'd you think of Kevin Smith's Spider-Man Black Cat mini overall? Lateness problems aside,
never
of course.
Never read the ending.
More importantly, what'd you think of the retcon he did to Black Cat's past with the rape victim approach?
I know about it. I haven't read it, so it would be ill-suited of me to comment.
Who do you think draws the best Black Cat ever? For him, it's the Dodsons first and Billy Tucci in a very close second.
Yeah, I put Bagley up there with her inflatable boobs. He gives Cho a run for his money.
I like Bagley's, and I like Tucci's, too.
There was an issue of Bagley's where I literally was almost going to write, like, she, like, uses them as weapons, like, she, like, hits people with them.
What is your opinion on fan fiction and fanfic universes? What about fan films? Do you have a favorite
without
one?
Without it, I wouldn't have a career. Thank you. Good night. I'm pro, of course.
Some people consider
you. I wrote a very long Star Trek The Next Generation erotic fan thing.
Did you really?
About war, no.
Some people consider you and Jeff.
I like that you think I might have. So that was the best part.
Some people consider you and Jeff Johns the star writers of DC and Marvel. You both come up with best-selling stuff almost every time, and you both do things on multiple titles. Granted,
and other people do, too, though. I appreciate that.
Granted, you're more on time than Jeff is, but still, and you both have been in charge of massive company events. What's your take on hearing something like that, and what do you think of Jeff?
I think the world of Jeff, as a person and as a writer, and I have for a long time. And I know Jeff feels the same. Jeff wrote one of the first Powers fan letters. Is in Powers number 4, way back in the day. So, and I didn't know him at the time when he wrote it, so it was a very nice thing. You know what? I don't know how much to react when someone says that. It's a string of luck matched with I'm working my ass off to do the best books that I could possibly do. So I'm trying to earn whatever it is when people say nice things like that to me.
He'll end with one more joke question. Who would win in a battle of the bald guys, you or Greg Rucka?
Jubilee.
Dirty whore. Phil Ex Machina says, hey, Bendis, I wanted to start by saying that the Ultimate Spider clone saga is keeping me awake at nights, as I'm completely wrapped up in all the mayhem. This is already one of my favorite arcs of the book. Well done, sir.
Now, I think Phil did the soundboard.
Yes, he did.
All right, my wife and child think the soundboard is the funniest damn thing ever. And love the soundboard, and my kids actually requested it, like, when, there's a computer open. Because do that thing where Daddy talks. And, of course, you have to skip over a lot of them, because they're, but it was very disturbing when he made it, and now it's turned very funny, so. So a lot of effort went into that, and I appreciated it and was scared of it.
Yeah, Phil gave me a bunch of new pictures of you. I mean, they're like,
what?
They're like pictures of you way back.
Aye.
No, in a good way. No, not the not the ones with you with the mullet or anything.
From like a telephoto lens or something.
No, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Alias number 10 is one of our favorite, my favorite Bendis issues. Was there a specific reason you decided to use this format? Any chance of using the format again sometime? So refresh our memories.
Absolutely use the format again. There's been many stories where I thought, okay, I'm going to do that format, and then said, don't cram it in, because, you know, you don't want to be sticky just to be sticky. He's talking about it was a fully painted book with almost the dialogue running almost like a play. Yes, I will do it again, and there was many requests from Marvel for me to do that again, too. Phil Jemison in particular really liked that issue. So, Gatiss wanted to paint, and he's an excellent painter, so we came up with a way to do it where he would do either full images or half images, but big images, and I ran the dialogue almost like scrolling down the side. And it was basically three scenes of J. Jonah Jameson and Jessica dealing with each other, and it was a perfect story for that format.
In reading the House of M scripts posted on Wizard's website, I finally noticed Pietro hidden in the background in issue number one. Yeah. Are there other hidden details like this in your other books?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying Meltzer's Justice League of America?
Yeah, I actually am. It's interesting, and this is documented in our interview together. Unbeknownst to me, we had made some similar choices storytelling-wise, and so to see him do it, see what he did and see what I did, and they're handled very differently, but they seem similar on paper, but they look and feel very different. So it's interesting to see the two sides of like an idea. But yeah, I'm a big fan. He's a real writer, man. He's a real craftsman. It's fun to see him construct a story.
Do you like the new league?
I do like the new league. My vote is Les Dixon.
Yeah, but Dennis drew her really hot. She looked good. That's the best she's ever looked.
I'm a big fan of, like, bald guy leads, so, you know, Red Tornado, I could watch that all day. I am Red Tornado, is what I'm saying.
John Drake asks, Powers, is the end near, or are there still many years of stories to come?
The end is not near, but I will say there will be a lot of issues to come. We have quite a few issues done and ready to go, and we just switched editors and letterers. We were having some trouble with the production of the book, and now C.B. Cebulski is now the editor of Powers.
Oh, wow.
And Chris Eliopoulos, the multi-award-winning Chris Eliopoulos, who's my letterer on Ultimate Spider-Man, is taking over the lettering of Powers as well.
Very cool. I love Chris.
Yeah, so we were just having some trouble getting the book out. It was no one's fault, including certainly not Kip Ruzanek or James Lucas Jones' fault, but we were just having trouble getting the book out, so we made some changes to kind of assure that the book gets out more timely. And also Powers 25... This is our 25th issue at Marvel. We'll feature two covers, one by me and one by Omi.
Oh, that's cool.
That was that went over really well last time. So,
very cool.
And issue 25, the new storyline is called The 25 Coolest Dead Superheroes of All Time.
Ryudo, someone asked about fan films, so I have to throw a question here about that. Have you ever seen the Grayson trailer? What'd you
I
think
have.
Of it? What'd you think
Nothing
of it?
Will beat the Batman Alien Predator thing. That was the best one.
And as an offshoot of that, would you like to do any of that post-tragedy, crazy hero versus hero stuff in the DC Universe?
I don't really think about what I would do in the DC Universe because it's like it can't even legally happen until 2009, and they, you know, doesn't, you know, I don't even know if they would even want me over there. But so I give it no thought. But you know, I'm sure I would love to do some crazy shit one day.
And that leads itself to another question. We've heard about and seen heroes dying in Civil War, but it seems like Captain America isn't going to kick the bucket, at least not yet. The talk of there being someone else inside Tony's armor in Mighty Avengers makes me wonder if someone could fill the shoes of Captain America. We've seen it attempted in the Ultimates Annual, but it's rarely been addressed in the 616 universe. If Steve Rogers were to somehow not make it out of an ordeal, do you think that someone else would be able to pick up the mantle of Captain America and shoulder its burden with the same effect? How do you think this would affect the chemistry of whatever Avengers teams he winds up on? And most importantly, do you think it would be a good story? I had to give a little
I'm amazed that more people can't see that Captain Ship from Next Wave taking over if Captain America is coming down the street. I mean, it's so obvious and how it's being set up. So...
Well, they've toyed with other people.
They just can't do Next Wave. Next Wave isn't doing that badly. I mean, they just can't do Next Wave if Captain Shit is Captain America. So if Captain Shit is Captain America, the Next Wave becomes the Avengers. Clearly. I don't know why people can't see that. That's how Civil War ends.
The Schweitz, $9.99, and I'm assuming this is a Fat Albert.
Hey, hey. Silver Bullet Comics runs that as a rumor with a 9 out of 10 smiley face.
The Schweitz, $9.99.
Hey, hey.
The Schweitz.
I just want to start by telling John how much I love the podcast. Thank you. They keep
like you saying his name.
The Schweitz. They keep me entertained while doing yard work for the summer. So thanks. Well, now it's fall. So enjoy while you're raking the leaves.
Back to your day job at the viewing booth.
Do you have an agent? And if so, what advice do you have about finding an agent and dealing with them?
I have a manager and a lawyer, and that's all you really need. I had an agent. I got just as much work with or without. So.
Ever consider growing a Jufro?
No. No, don't even joke. Come on, seriously.
Do you think Anne Hathaway would make a good Wonder Woman? I think she would, and I get tons of shit for saying so. If not her, who would you want to play Wonder Woman?
Well, I liked her in that movie Havoc, where her and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, Brubaker tipped me off on that. Thank you. Thank you, Ed.
I table, like, every 5 minutes. You know, because first you go, oh, it's just another movie where Beecher Phillips is getting in the butt. You know, you know, you could throw a rock at a blockbuster and hit a movie with that in it, but then you know, there's Anne Hathaway.
Yay. So do you have a Wonder Woman in mind?
No. I think you got to cast an unknown like they did with Christopher Reeve.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which Avengers would you want in the upcoming Avengers movie?
I will say I did get a big thrill out of, I don't know, but I did like that if you put all the new Avengers on the team in Ultimate Alliance, it goes, New Avengers, and you get extra points. That made me happy. They gave me a little thrill.
Any plans to ever address the Eddie Brock working for the Daily Globe from the first Doc Ock arc in Ultimate Spidey?
You know what? I would, issue 210 has the answer to that.
Lil Poe wants to know your thoughts on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
I'm a big fan of it. What I like about it, and what I'm surprised you don't hang in there for there, Mr. Word Balloon.
Yes, sir.
Is that it's a show about writing, and it's a show about broadcasting, and it's a love letter to it, and I really do appreciate that subject matter, so I enjoy watching the show.
Well, I respect your opinion. I'll try it again. I just felt that they were writing about being funny without actually being funny.
No, but you know what's funny is that the show itself is, and I read this thing in Variety, and I had actually said this to my wife before I'd read it, that what's funny is that you watch Studio 60, and the story right now is that the woman executive told the guys that make the reality shows to go fuck themselves. Like, she hated that they pitched the show, and she was disgusted by it.
Right.
And instead campaigned to get this HBO show about the UN on her air because it was a well-written show. And so now, and at the same, like the next day, NBC in real life announced that they're not going to put scripted television on at the 8 o'clock hour anymore because nobody wants it, nobody watches it, and they're just going to put on crappy game shows, right? And now everyone at NBC, just like how when West Wing started, there was a lot of people who wished that President Bartlett was really our president. Now people really wish that she was running a network. It's like this fantasy.
No,
the
opposite
is really happening.
No, and I understand what the show purports to be, and I like Aaron Sorkin. I love Sports Night, and I really love the West Wing. I just felt let down by this show. I mean, that's just...
Hey, listen. There's no bigger fan of the police than me. When I saw Sting on that show with that loot, I wanted to kill somebody. That nothing... I will never do whatever the comic book equivalent of playing a loot is.
All right. Juggernaut. I hope this question isn't repeated for another Q&A thread. Anyway, here goes. Ares, despite being a god of war, seems to come off as the typical strongman with regenerative ability and excellent fighting skills. What do you think makes him unique or different than, say, Wolverine or Luke Cage in personality and ability?
Horse cock. That will all be addressed in Mighty Avengers. I actually enjoy writing him a great deal.
Did you draw on any previous resources, like old Greek myths or possibly any of George Perez's run on Wonder Woman, in which he developed Ares?
I should go back and look at that. I haven't looked at it in a while. But, both me and Omi worked on this stuff together.
And he wishes
Omi's got some awesome ideas that I stole, is what I mean.
I wish you much luck on your future endeavors, and I still want Mike Von Oeming to admit he's an 80s metalhead that played Poison and Def Leppard in some Jersey basement. He had to.
I think he's made that clear.
Yeah.
He just loves a bad name.
I just had a great conversation with Mike last month. He was cracking me up.
Yeah, he's great. And his his mainstream writing career has taken off.
Yeah, I'm really happy for him, and they're great stories. I mean, that's the good thing is
Omega Flight number one script is really, really good.
Very cool to hear.
And I'm not just saying that because he's my pal. I just wouldn't say anything. It's really good.
York Brown, Bendy, what's the question you get asked most frequently in a podcast Q&A thread?
It's either about Eddie Brock appearing in the Doc Ock storyline in Ultimate Spider-Man, Robert Kirkman something that I know that his board guys are planting, and that's it.
Well, and Blandy asking
about Gail Simone that makes me uncomfortable.
Veronica Mars, you're a fan. Is John Suntress ever going to get a drawing on this podcast homepage at Werbaloon that makes him look a lot like a member of the Addams Family? Perhaps a Gomez to your Uncle Fester. Actually, I think I'm more Cousin It, but that's just me.
Okay.
Finally, can you give another Mark Miller practical joke story?
There are amazing Mark Miller practical joke stories, but they don't involve me, so they'd be wrong for me to say. They really should get Mark on here and have him tell. There's a couple outstanding ones.
The next time I talk to Mark. Yeah, do you know what's going on with the podcast with him, by the way?
What, his own podcast?
Yeah, he was talking a big game.
Where he stole this idea?
Yeah, I wonder.
And then pretended like he invented the podcast? Yeah, okay. No, I don't know what's going on. It's okay. You can't understand a word he says anyhow.
Which is half the fun. I know, and he's going to get a Spanish guy and another English guy that you can't understand either. So, yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be like a... Okay.
It's Babel.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, by the way, that trailer?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I like 21 Grams a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a funny movie.
It's the feel-good end of the year.
Yeah.
Toshio. Hey, Bendis, what kind of special features and bonuses can we see in the second Powers hardcover?
Oh, a lot, including I'm so happy that we finally got the legal right to put the Who Killed Madman story back in print.
Okay.
We just were not allowed to print it. Years ago, we did a piece in the Oni color special, Powers Who Killed Madman, where the Powers people go across the independent comic books of Kabuki and Madman and all these cool, fun books and are looking to see who killed Madman and... With our greatest punchline ever, and that is going to be reprinted, among with many other things from that year of stories.
Hennessy, Bendis, your female characters are very distinctive, well-drawn characters. Yes. How have you approached developing your depictions of the fairer sex?
I think of a man, and I take out accountability. No, I that's from...
yes, I know.
Yeah, thank you. More than not, I base them on people that I know and love and know very well and take it from there. Just like I do with male characters. It's very easy to find someone in your life that reminds you of this person and you just basically steal their essence and soul and you eat it. And you suckle at it.
You suckle at it.
Okay.
Also, what's the best comedy album in your collection?
I have the Richard Pryor box set.
Attaboy.
Can't say, or David Cross's first double-size album. And I do have, you know what I'm going to say? You know what's a fun one? Is the Bill Hicks Flying Saucer Tour, Volume 1, because it's this unedited album. And it's, he really goes off the rails, and the audience really turns on him, and they keep recording. It's fantastic.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
I got to see him live in Chicago, and I was so excited.
You saw him live?
I did indeed. Catch a Rising Star while it lasted at one of the hotels in Chicago, and it was very cool. Yeah, I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I got to see him live. He was
cool.
Amazing.
And I'll give a shout-out to Maria Bamford's album. Maria Bamford's one of the comedians of comedy.
Oh, okay.
Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn, whose albums I love as well. But Maria's is a real find. Maria's is really, really funny.
Icarus. Bendigo. Yes, I stole that. Now, we all know that Marvel Boy wasn't the first Ultimate book published by Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Will we ever know which one was? Or was it just Joe Quesada trying to create hype or whatever?
No, it's not Trouble.
yeah, he goes...
Yeah, I think they were at one point it was going to be Marvel Boy. They were gonna fit it in there somehow, but they just didn't do it.
So you don't know?
I think Morrison left the DC and they just lost lost passion for it.
Okay, let's see.
I wasn't going to do it. I think Morrison was going to do it.
It seemed to me, at least after the Carnage saga, Ultimate Spidey hit a bit of a slump. I mean, I love the book, and I've read every issue of it, but it just didn't seem as amazing as it had previously been, with the exception of the Warriors saga, which was crazy. But even so, it was still one of the only books in the market which you could always get a satisfying read from every month, except for the two Morbius issues. Sorry, but that's the truth. It seems that with the Clone Saga, the book is starting to get back on track, and it's starting to get as good as it was during the earlier arcs. Did you as a creator feel that slump too, or are you confident your work has remained as good as ever throughout the book?
Well, you know, one of the things I always try with almost all my books, particularly with Ultimate Spider-Man, though, is you want every arc to have a different feel to it. It was always about the high school. People really like the high school issues,
mm-hmm.
or the Kingpin issues, right? It was only about that every issue. You would have lost interest 50 issues ago, you know?
Sure.
Here's Peter in a horror comic. Here's Peter in a, you know, monster comic. Here's Peter in a crime comic. Here's, you know, that's kind of what we try to do. And so here, you didn't like the Morbius ones. There are people who thought they loved, that was, that now that's what made them stay on the book. They love the Morbius issues. They were waiting for Morbius. So it's hard to say. You know, it's I don't feel like, oh my God, I'm in a slump and I just keep handing in scripts. If I felt that way, I would leave the book. I feel very passionate about every one that I hand in and give each of them an equal amount of coddling and swaddling and picking at. So it's certainly not on my end. It's just you can't make everybody happy, you know. But again, the argument is really if you look at the arc of character Peter went through up to the Clone Saga, it's what made the Clone Saga so, it's a high point. But you build towards these things, but you can't always be there. You got to kind of build up and then get down and build up again. You know, it's how it goes.
I hear you.
And every, if you think of any TV show, any, you know, it's funny because I think that right after the Clone Saga, those six issues are probably in my favorite issues, like the switcheroo issues and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about some Ultimate Zorn? Then you wouldn't have to worry about all the continuity issues and script the character.
No, I think I've typed the word Zorn for the last time in my career. Lesson learned.
And he's just going to say this. Where's Geldof?
He is in a halfway house in Michigan. He's doing okay.
Having just read Jinx a few weeks ago, again, I just got to tell you, it's awesome. I do have a question, though. It's been a while since you've drawn anything. Any chance you'll do it again sometime in the future, or are you done?
I'm not done. I am drawing a Powers cover. I draw all the time. It's just, again, I'm working with the greatest artist in comics. So it's a lot of fun to hand a script over to someone and make magic out of it where I would be struggling with it. So,
is there any chance on you revisiting the Jinx World characters?
Well, I just wrote the screenplay. Just handed it in about a month and a half ago. So, and we just had a meeting last week in L.A. about Jinx. So Jinx is very much on my mind.
That's
so
cool.
I don't know if I'll come back to that particularly. I'm not a big fan of the sequels because they're usually just about money. And I have some new stuff I want to debut, one of which is very dark in the same vein as a Jinx World book. So it might even be included as a Jinx World title, but I don't know yet.
Any update on the, while we're at it, Torso?
No. It's years away. It's,
okay.
The deal's set. He's got two movies to make before he makes Torso, so, you know. That's not even on my mind.
Okay. Chances of having something done in something other than black and white. I'm assuming that's your art.
Something done for me drawing something?
I'm assuming, yeah, that's what he means.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, thoughts on Mark Miller's Hollywood comics conspiracy theories.
I don't agree with it at all, but that's one of the things I love the most about my relationship with Mark is that we have different opinions on a lot of things. He also has an ageism theory about comics that I don't agree with. I've said this to Mark as like self-fulfilling prophecy, so.
Sure.
You know, I just choose to believe otherwise and behave accordingly.
One more question. Chances of a Pulse omnibus, good or bad?
Bad. I don't think Pulse would make a good omnibus just because it was so haphazard with the different artists and such. I think the trades are what it should be. I'm rooting. I'm trying to get a Daredevil Maliv omnibus going. That's my next big egotastic thing that I want out. Like I would buy that, you know.
All right. Will, hey yes. Brian, to dump back into the past.
Yes.
Why does Doctor Strange state that there's no such thing as chaos magic during Disassembled? Is Doctor Strange just referring to the magic aspect of her powers, not being of traditional magical origins?
Or did Wanda make him say that with her chaos magic?
Who is the character at the end of Disassembled that commented about the constructs?
Commented about the constructs? Do you know anything?
No, I don't. And I mean, I read Disassembled.
Commented about the concept.
Was that one of the shadowy figures?
Well, no, there was she had created, maybe you're talking about this, like she had created like everyone's worst nightmare, like Spider-Man was fighting clones and everyone was
right.
The thing that she knew was most under the skin. Maybe that's what he's referring to. It might have been Nick Fury. I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know, sir. Was Cletus Kasady really underneath the symbiote when Sentry ripped him in half and his carnage due for a comeback?
I didn't see him there. This is a very interesting thing.
Aside from the three-floor penthouse, will we see what other facilities the Avenger Towers has?
Well, there's a spa and a Starbucks and a Gap.
Does Stark Tower generate revenue for Tony Stark since there seems to be little or no occupancy?
It's not all about money for him, man.
Throughout New Avengers, there's been
it's coming up, the fact that he did want to rent it out, and no one will rent it out because, you know.
Of all the damage that could potentially happen to the building?
Yeah, Doctor Doom's coming, yeah. Yeah, how much is rent?
Throughout New Avengers, there have been a few mistakes here and there, such as Carnage being labeled as a vampire symbiote, Nefaria blasting through his hands, and Magneto referring to himself. Well, Nefaria, Nefaria.
Yeah,
it depends on what part of Brooklyn you're from. And Magneto referring to himself as Eric Leshner. Lensher, will these be corrected in the oversized hardcover via Infinite Crisis style, or were these deliberate?
No comment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
No,
I don't see them all as mistakes as you may see them. And there's other things in some of these stories that you will be delving into in the near future that may make you feel better about some of it.
You've mentioned Daniel Way's Wolverine Origins book a lot in the last podcast, so I'm wondering, is there some level of coordination between you two regarding Wolverine and his new Avenger appearances?
No, it's all Daniel's the primary caregiver of Wolverine. I just ask where he is and make sure he's available and then use him.
Can you confirm, either from your knowledge or from David Max, Echo's heritage?
Well, she's American Indian.
She has the name Maya Lopez,
yeah.
But her dad was Native American, which means seems like the mother might have been Hispanic. Or
Her mother's J-Lo. Yeah. You're gonna get a lot of Echo after Civil War. That's all I can say. A lot of Echo. A lot of fun Echo.
At what point does Ellis Extremis and the Knopf's executive program take place between your New Avengers run?
That's a very good question. I think it's going to have to shake out after Civil War. It'll all shake out together. But I think Extremis happens before New Avengers, for sure.
You're in your
spot. I'm not exactly sure. I feel bad for the Knopf because it's a great story, but I'm not sure where Executive Program shakes out in the Civil War arena. I guess before.
You're in your Spider-Man undies in a Zorn position squat. You have to choose between a box of chicken and a box of cookies. Brian, which do you pick?
Cookies.
All right.
I can't believe I answered that. That's so beneath me to answer that. Get off my board.
That's why I went in the game show mode. Are you enjoying Peter David's use of Layla Miller in X-Factor?
I answered that seriously. I'm so disgusted with myself.
And what kind of cookies would they be, Brian?
I'm not talking. You go on.
Are you enjoying Peter David's use of Layla Miller in X-Factor?
Very much so. I very, very much so.
Is Mark Miller a panty sniffer?
Yeah, hell yes.
Also, isn't it hilarious when you hear him say the word panties?
It's almost funny when you hear him say the word anything.
With Hunslot coming back, and we expect an awesome battle between
them. It would be great. When I was at an oratory retreat, and I said, wouldn't it be great if Mark had subtitles so we could understand what he's saying? Disappeared underneath him.
With Onslaught coming back, can we expect an awesome battle between him and the Mighty Avengers? Come on, they got the Century.
No, those are Loeb. Loeb is flatly called Onslaught his for the moment. So I'm all done with that.
The Batman is here, ladies and gentlemen. Almighty Bald One. When are you going to write a 12-issue Wolverine maxi series with Copiel on art?
That would be pretty cool. That's not out of the question.
Oh.
I know what I want to do next with Copiel. There's a place he's taking his art, and I want to be part of it, and I've already talked to him about it, and so we have to find the right project for him and me. But what he's attempting with page layout is very exciting to me, and I want to write for it.
Tom Maurer, I've got another question. In Miller's Wolverine run, Elektra showed up as a S.H.I.E.L.D. contractor.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned in one of the earlier podcasts that she and the Hand would show up sometime down the line in New Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance that she and her S.H.I.E.L.D. relationship between the Scorpio Key affair and Enemy of the State will be revisited then?
Mm-hmm. Issue 27, New Avengers.
Tycho Brahe, some Gilmore Girls questions because Bendis and I are secure in our sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, who was wrong last season, Rory or Lorelai? Why?
Well, Rory had a nervous breakdown. Rory snapped. So it's hard to know from a mother's point of view what the right thing to do is there, but she's an adult and she snapped. And I think she snapped because she was pushing herself too hard for those years and she just kind of cracked. And I've seen some friends of mine do that too, so I know what it's like to see that. So there you go. I answered seriously.
Who would you rather have your daughter date, Jess or Logan, and why?
Oh, Jess.
Why?
Well, Logan doesn't make
Help me out here. I always maintain...
Do you know who these people are at all?
I've seen a couple episodes.
Okay.
I have.
All right.
Help me out here. I don't know who Paris is, but he always maintains that Paris is hot.
Paris is hot, like, in real life. Like, they don't make her hot on the show, but you see on the little... When she does interviews, she's hot.
I'll have to check her out.
Yeah, Paris is hot.
I love Lorelai, my God.
Yeah, and Rory is easy on the eyes as well. They're all very attractive.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Except for
I'd even do Suki.
I was gonna say, is that Edwin? Is that the grandmother?
No, that's the woman. Never mind. I can't bring myself in.
All right, I was gonna say, is that Edward Herman's wife? Okay.
No, but I actually saw a picture in American Weekly last week of the grandmother Gilmore. In the chorus line in 1974, and she was smoking hot.
Well, that's like Angie Dickinson, man. Exactly. You step in the time machine, and Donna Reed looks pretty good, man.
Yeah.
B. Gorski. I remember reading an interview with Miller in An Older Wizard, and he mentions ultimizing the Red Skull in his Ultimates run. Mm-hmm. Is Kleezer the ultimatized form of the Red Skull? Or is the new Super Soldier from Iran supposed to be the ultimatized version?
Oh, let me give away the ending of all my friends' books. On some level. Well, no, it's not the Red Skull in Mark's book. It's Onslaught. And Onslaught in Loeb's book ends up being really Red Skull. And Brubaker, then the daredevil on Brubaker is that Matt Murdock and Foggy get married. I hope that doesn't mean anything. For spoilers.
Any chance of seeing Ultimate Electro anytime soon?
Yes.
We just updated the Jinx movie. Do you have any?
I didn't really say anything. Was in town. The script was received very well. Not the usual bullshit very well. It was received well because they offered me more work. So I know that means that they really did like it, as opposed to that bullshit they say to you when they say they like it, and really they have no intention of speaking to you again. So it did go well, and they are looking to put it together as we speak.
Do you have any plans on coming to the New York Comic Con this year?
I was not invited, so no.
Wow.
No.
Joe doesn't care. Bendis, how's life?
It's good. Thanks. How's your...
I could just go on Wiki and find this out, but I'm sure your answer will be more fun. What are the origins of Rosh Hashanah, and do you celebrate it? Because this was written in around...
I'd be better off going to Wikipedia. I celebrated it by going, it's today? As a Jew, I'm almost Lutheran.
With the success of DC's 52, would you ever consider, or has Marvel ever considered, doing a weekly book? Well, they did do one years ago, of course.
Yeah, no, it's been done before. It's been done quite a few times. Action Comics Weekly was before, too.
Yes, it was.
It's been done.
Recently, Robert Kirkman, who was asked on a podcast who had went on a fight himself or you, his reply, have you seen that man? He looks like a child. He looks like a big, bald 8-year-old. I would fight him by accident.
I would take his skinny little Scream Awards tie, and I would hug him. You know, Robert, just because you dress like a Reservoir Dog on TV doesn't make you tough. Careful. You've got retard strength.
Flonk, first-time listener, long-time caller. What's your fifth favorite cheese?
Spreadable mild cheddar.
Clint P., what is your favorite highly repeated children's movie that you watch with the little one?
My favorite is School of Rock.
Yep. Have you invented anything else recently like you did with the kite? And that, of course,
yeah.
A reference to your...
Oh, yeah, pumpkin. My kid was, like, hypnotized. Glowing. She was staring at me in awe. I said, it'll never get easier than this.
What is Olivia for Halloween?
Depending on her mood, on Monday or Tuesday, it is Dora or Snow White.
Are you and the wife dressing for Halloween?
No.
Fred Flintstone every year.
I need to get my Nacho Libre mask, and I debated it for a second before.
I have been wondering why you don't post on the board too much, other than to make announcements and quick comments. Is it because you've reached that level of stardom where everything you say is taken out of context?
I post all the time. I just the other time, just the other day, got into a fight with someone who mistook my fond wishes as hostility. And what if not? What is the message board for? If not for people mistaking something you said for hostility? I post all the time.
Akira, Bendis, I'm sure you hear this a lot, but you really got me back into comics after a long hiatus.
Ah, thanks, man.
All ass kissery aside, I feel that you had a Daredevil 181 moment in Daredevil 50, where when Matt drove Fist through the window of Josie's, ripped off his mask, and declared it was a new day, I was stunned. 3 years later, and I still think that was one of the greatest sequences in any comic that I've ever read, just as emotionally powerful as Elektra dying in Matt's arms or Jean sacrificing herself on the moon.
Thank you. I don't see that on that level, but I appreciate that. That's what we were shooting for.
I love hearing your insights on the industry and the craft. They inspire me to keep going and pounding away at my scripts, even when I'm tired from work. That said, I have a couple questions.
That was a good setup, and here comes the boom.
Exactly. I feel like Casey Kasem would have that said, I have a couple of questions. When you get the seed of a story, starring characters owned by another individual or company, which is more important for you from a personal standpoint? Getting across the story the way that you originally saw it in your head, or making sure it fits the characters and what is deemed proper use and how a character would or would not act?
You know, when I was learning how to draw, I remember asking Walt Simonson, what's more important, finding your perspective point or figure work? And he said, it's all equally important. He wasn't even sure what the question meant. Like, you have to do all of it. It's all the same thing. So that's my answer to this question. It is all the same thing. It is all equally important.
I have several ideas for books and stories that I'm working on right now, but I'd be lying if I said that one of them wasn't nearest and dearest to my heart. I really would love for this book to reach a wide audience, like big too wide. However, I'm still hunting for an artist for this book, and I have no illusions that my first professional project ever would get published by Marvel without a proven track record. I want your professional opinion in this case. Would it be better to focus on getting other books published any which way that they need to be, or should I try and get my favorite story published first time just to get it out to whomever and move on from there?
I'm giving you advice that I absolutely 1,000% lived by for years and years and years and still live by today. And so did David Mack, Mike Oeming, Phil Hester, Azzarello, Mike Albright. It goes on and on and on and on. Frank Joe, get your story published. Publish it anyway. Write your story. If it's haunting you, if it's in you, if it was meant to be birthed into the world, it is your job to birth it into the world. Do not wait around for anyone to discover you. Discover yourself. You know, I made Jinx and Goldfish and Torso and all those books with no inkling in sight that anyone was ever going to hire me to do anything. The fact that they did is a miracle. But the whole time I was working on those books, it was pretty clear to me that all I was ever going to get to do is make books like that. And that was fine. So just do it. You have absolutely no excuse. You should never wait around for a company to discover you. It's near impossible. But the good news is if you make a book that you really, really like, that you feel really strong about, it'll be easy for you to sell it to people and show it to people because you'll be very proud of it. And maybe they'll like it and hire you to do other stuff. But it's much more important. And if I had a story to this day, if I have a story and I go, well, this isn't, you know, Marvel or DC or whoever couldn't publish this, I just would find a way to publish it myself. That's my very serious answer.
Jim T. That was very good. Jim T., why the MySpace page?
All right, here is...
Besides getting Howard to publicly designate you as a friend.
Yeah, me and the 55,000 other people.
Exactly.
I went on MySpace. This is where the douchebag I am. I went on MySpace because I wanted to see the show The Office. They had like a sneak preview, and you had to log on to MySpace, but I didn't realize that by doing that you... created a page. I didn't even understand that. That's what a moron I am. And by the time I was done looking at this thing, I had already had 100 friend requests. Like, people had found it already. I didn't even know how that happened. So I just decided to keep it and see what would happen. And if it sucked, I would just dismantle it. But it's actually been very, very pleasant.
Very,
very,
cool.
Very nice place for people who don't like message boards to also come and find information and whatnot.
The Travis Bendis. First, allow me to second or third your idea of coming to the New York Comic Con in February. I'd love to actually meet you this year instead of just gazing at you from afar.
Yeah, sure, Travis. Like last year. You completely stood me up, so F you.
Ever read any of the Prey novels by John Sanford? Eyes of Prey, Rules of Prey, etc.
Birds of Prey.
They're great reads, and they remind me a bit of the cop dialogue in Powers.
Then I shall sue him. No, I haven't read them. I don't know.
Aside from any... Go ahead.
I don't read a lot of books is what I'm getting from this whole podcast. I seem to read all the time. I've read every issue of Entertainment Weekly's ever been made, so that's kind of for something.
Aside from any lineups of your own, what do you think were the best and worst rosters for the Avengers have been through?
The best Avengers rosters was Buziak's roster was really cool. The first one, you know, I'm not going to say who the worst ones were, but I just will say that I was really disappointed they put Rom on the cover and had no intention of putting him on the Avengers for that one issue, like 227 or whatever that was. My favorite Avengers roster is probably the one around Avengers Annual 10. That's the most iconic, and that's the one that makes me feel Avengery the most. And that's the one I aspire to, even though I'm not using a lot of those characters. I'm not trying to rip it off or do a cover band version of it.
Who was that team?
Cap, Thor, Iron Man, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, Vision. It's just, you know, it's the boom. Roy Thomas, John DeSimo.
Okay.
Group. And I do aspire to that feel without ripping it off or just doing what they did.
Yeah. Evan Wiener. Bendis, first time I'm asking these questions. Here's hoping they don't suck.
All right.
What do you listen to while working? Do you listen to music?
Not much, you know, because I'm writing, but if I'm just spell checking and formatting, I've Howard on for that. And if you think, wow, you can listen to Howard Stern while you're spell checking, yes, because it takes that long. It takes 4 or 5 hours a day to spell check what I wrote.
Do you listen to music as sort of a soundtrack to your writing?
You listen to music on the bike, and it always makes me think of something to write, but not while I'm writing. I really get caught up in my ear drum solos and my, you know, concert that's going on in my basement by myself. So I just don't have music on.
Do you have any great CD suggestions currently?
I'll tell you what my cheesy, boy, I'm going to be embarrassed to even say this out loud, but they put out an 80s, and
You just shit on the 80s, exactly.
I just shit on the 80s, but they came out with a thing called 80s Hits Stripped, and it's all, like, live, like, it's unplugged, but it's all the 80s guys.
That's cool.
And Berlin and the Motels and Men at Work and Asia and Jane Weedland from the Go-Go's, and it's surprisingly good. It's generally surprising. Really liked Beck's new album. Really, really dug it. I'm not going to admit that. I'm literally like going through what I just listened to, and I'm like, I'm not going to admit that, not going to admit that. Yeah, that's it for now.
All right. How do you get the amount of work you do done each month?
I almost like TV on the radio. Not convinced yet.
All right.
Okay, I'm done.
How do you get the amount of work you do done each month while having time to listen to Stern every day, have a toddler, and play video games? My wife gives me crap for gaming because it takes time away from creative work, and I think she's right. Does the hour or two of not commuting to a job give you that much more time?
And no, you don't understand. I don't have to go to a job. I don't have to be anywhere. So there's, like, I have Stern on the iPod, and I have it on when I'm en route to do anything. Pick up my kid from school, which sometimes is on the bike, so that's a couple hours, you know. And whatever, I work it in. And for games, I do games when my work is done. That is my little reward for having written what needs to be written for the day, or what have you. But it is a far distance to the other stuff that I have to do in the day.
Do you like bacon? I'm also a Jew, but man, do I like having bacon with breakfast.
Yeah, my rabbi was wrong about everything else. Hell yeah. I like all pig. Pig is good.
Yeah, Phil, I look forward to that on the Bendis voice board.
And all that. You know, I'm very lucky. I don't have to be anywhere. I only have to be where I need to be. You know what I mean? It just make my day, you know. I tell you, for being a father, it's the best. You know, I get to pick my kid up from school every day. Most of my friends that are parents don't even get to see the kids unless it's on the weekend.
Sure.
So, like, I get to put my kid to bed tonight, you know, spend time, do fun pumpkin shit, and then go do work and talk on the phone with the nonsense that we're doing right now. Yeah.
Dreg, dear gentle Bendis, have you read The Astonishing Adventures of Fanboy and Goth Girl by Barry Liga? If so, what do you think of your loving depiction within it?
Well, it's very funny. There is a book out that's getting very good reviews that, yes, I am actually in the book. And that's what he's referring to, mm-hmm, right now. And it was written by someone who used to work at Diamond, supposedly. And I've never met this person. And I was given it was sent to Marvel, and I was given a copy of it a couple months ago, and I didn't read it because I was kind of worried about it. It was just, you know, and I was told, you're in this book. And I was like, and my brother, Dan News from the message board, he was staying over at my house when he grabbed it and read it, and he loved it. And he goes, and he described to me how it was used, and it made me even more scared to read it. And it is now getting all these great reviews, and I will read it, and I am going to give Barry a call this week. But it was very bizarre to have this novel written where you're in the novel. It's very bizarre.
How much of a return will Mighty Avengers be to the title's roots? Will we see little homages here and there, such as a Wonder Man Beast team-up? How about an overly pompous story title like, "And lo, there shall cometh a Samich"?
Nothing as good as that. That's pretty good. But, you know, that's the one thing that's kind of out there is that if there was ever going to be a second Avengers title, it would be returned to some, like, retro cool Avengers, you know, 70s stuff. And it's just, that's not what this book is. In fact, it's even more progressive than New Avengers in its narrative techniques. So I really, really, you know, want to put it out there that I'm not looking to do, I just don't do retro cool. I just don't do it. So this is, we're trying something else here. So it'll be very different from New Avengers. But at the same time, trying to push the idea of a team book forward, just trying to do something new with it. So I'm very, very proud of the first issue. It's gorgeous. If you completely despise me, it's a stunning book. You can white out all my balloons and write in whatever you want. The book is stunning to look at.
It seems as if Ultimate Spider-Man is quickly becoming the book in which everyone expects to see their favorite 6-from-16 character ultimatized. Are you starting to wish that we're still an Ultimate Adventures or Ultimate Team-Up book that could handle the responsibility of gracing the world with, say, an Ultimate Gamecock so that you won't be pestered about it?
Is there something going to end up being editor-in-chief?
Is there something we could expect in the future?
I think we're looking at the new Dan Slott. No. The novelty has never been about who can I ultimate now, but the novelty is always that it's the best toy box ever, so you get to dip into the toy box and pull out these cool toys and do fun stuff with them. So, no, I'm happy. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to this day that the Ultimate line stuck to its guns and was, you know, four core titles that, you know, and never branched out and cheapened it. I think today that's why they're still doing so well.
While All-Star Batman hasn't been my cup of tea, Jim Lee's art is really has me wishing you were doing a Daredevil story with him. It sucks that he's a DC exclusive right now. You should totally go to his house and put all of his cookies on the highest shelf as revenge.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate your jokes, too. He's taller than me. But anyway, I could imagine that Jim and I will work on something in the future. I do think Jim is a wonderful artist, and we have talked even this year about trying to finagle it, but he's more than a DC exclusive. He's a DC corporate executive, so it's not, you know, I don't know how that would work ever, but there is interest on both parties for us to do something together.
Speaking of revenge, if you were given a chance,
and I do think that All-Star Batman is beneath him. I do.
Speaking of revenge, if you were given a chance to beat the living fecal matter out of one of your critics, all in the spirit of good fun, of course.
Of course.
Like
all did, yeah.
Yeah, who would it be, and how many rounds would it last?
I really don't feel that way about it. I don't feel like it hitting anybody. Trying to think. Who would I like to sock? I can't think of anybody. What a pussy thing. I don't even want to fight in fantasy.
Since we already...
But yeah, I'm afraid if I say it out loud that as a surprise to me, they'll make it happen in Wizard World Chicago, so...
Are you coming this year to Chicago or next year?
I think I might actually be doing Wizard World Philadelphia for the first time ever.
Wow.
I've never done that show ever in my whole life, so that would be a first. And I think I said yes to Chicago, but there's some family stuff that hasn't been scheduled yet that I don't want to counter-schedule it on. So,
see?
It's a possibility.
You got it, dude. We'll hang out. It'll be lovely.
Yeah.
My town.
Yeah.
Since Nicolas Cage changed his name to coincide with your favorite ass spelunker, it'd be pretty darn fitting if Luke Cage changed his name to Luke Coppola for the duration of Civil War, don't you think?
I don't even understand. You were so good with the sandwich, and you tanked at the end.
Well, he's saying that, you know.
I understand. Okay. It wasn't working. Sorry, Greg. You're on a roll.
Evan Wiener.
One too many. Get off stage while they're laughing.
And back to Evan Wiener, then. I know this question has been asked by many in the cynical world we live in, but is Superman still relevant? not as an icon, but coming from a writer's perspective, can a Superman story be told today without it coming off as out of date?
No, I think so.
Yeah, I do too. I can appreciate writers saying, I don't know how to write Superman, and I can appreciate readers saying, I don't like reading Superman stories, but how is Superman any different than any other story?
I mean, I know if I was at DC right now, I know exactly what I would do with Superman. I know Mark, you know, clearly has made his declaration about what he would do with Superman, but clearly what needs to be done is he needs to be at least 40% more Jewy.
More Jew.
It's so obvious, and I just don't know why they're not doing it.
This is from G101. Mm-hmm. When you're writing, would you sometimes draw out a page you're writing just so you can see how it's going to flow?
I do it all the time.
Do you ever draw Marvel characters for kicks in your spare time?
Yes, I do.
In the JMS New Avengers story in Amazing, there were some evil Hydra clones of Avengers past and present. Do you have any plans to use these guys?
I like them. I did it one time. It kind of didn't fit in the post-Civil War plan, but I did like them a lot. That was a good story.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Mm-hmm. Is Madame Hydra still on the run, even from her own organization?
Yes. Well, that will be dealt with in the future as well.
Well, we see the revelation of the Man in Shadows from New Avengers 1 in Mighty Avengers or New Avengers.
You will. It is already planned. When I say written, when I say planned. It's already been, like, what month that's happening. It's already been declared. Yeah, it's a big month for Marvel, that thing.
St. Dash, have you listened to the Rick Emerson program Monday through Fridays from 11 to 3 on 970 AM? It's clearly better than Howard Stern.
Oh, I'm sure.
Nice guy, Eddie.
Does he have a Sivian? No.
Nice guy, Eddie. If you had to choose a lawyer, who would it be? Matt Murdock, Harvey Dent, or Bob Loblaw?
Harvey Dent.
I love Bob Loblaw.
I do. I love Bob Loblaw.
Rourke, Bendis, if you're ever starting...
I have to sift down through Nice Guy Eddie's 85 goddamn banner ads.
Yeah.
One banner ad. The band, you motherfucker.
Rourke, as in Mister?
Mm-hmm.
Bendis, if you were ever to start a comic publishing company, what would your business model be? Yeah, what would it be? Monthly serial comics? Original graphic novels only? Web comics? How would you enter the marketplace with a new line of product?
Well, you know what I would do? I would go to my bank and I would take all my money out of savings and I would take it home and I would gather my family around the toilet and I would dump it all into the toilet and flush it. And I would have a better chance than starting a comic company in this market. Was that too cynical?
Not at all.
Was that over the top?
Not at all.
Okay.
The Travis.
I love the Travis. I do love the Travis.
Bendis is the proud father of a little girl. Mm-hmm. Do you not think that a line of Marvel-licensed stuffed toys would be awesome?
I think they have a line of Marvel stuffed toys.
Could you put some of your considerable influence behind getting more of them made, I guess? My girlfriend really wants a stuffed dupe.
Yeah, is this so-called girlfriend? Come out and admit it to you. Be a man.
Dupe.
A man wants a stuffed dupe.
Dupe is really
doesn't
like...
Doesn't make your penis any smaller. Go ahead.
I want to play with dupe. Is dupe? Is there a stuffed dupe?
I don't know.
There should be. I agree with that, actually. I think dupe is pretty cool.
I don't know.
Cat Klops.
I like girls.
I respect that. What do you think of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip? He likes it. Would you smack Bob Dylan around if you had to?
No. He's got that batshit disease. I don't want to catch that thing. That's a reference no one's going to get. Didn't he have, like, bat poop disease?
Oh, guano or whatever?
Yeah.
What was he doing with back one?
Like 10 years ago he had it. I just realized how old that reference was and decided to.
I don't remember that story. I got to be honest with you.
Right. No, I'm a Bob Dylan fan.
As am I.
He's just great interviews. He's a fantastic interview.
Oh, yeah. Kirk or Picard?
Picard.
You don't know. You don't know.
Picard!
I'm fine.
No, but I will say I did like Sulu's line on he said on Stern. That it drives him nuts that William Shatner got an Emmy for playing Denny Crane when Denny Crane is exactly who he is in real life, and him playing Captain Kirk was really acting because there couldn't be a character he's further apart from. So for him to pull off Captain Kirk was real acting as opposed to Denny Crane, which is just him being him.
His stuff at the Shatner roast was fantastic.
And I got to meet William Shatner at the Toronto show, which was great, and he did the best panel. Oh, it was so great. We got invited. There was a panel at the Toronto show. It was him and Leonard Nimoy together.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who runs the show, like, let us all go in. It was $400 a pop to get in just to see the panel. And it was an hour long, and there was, like, 2,000 people in there. And the place went bananas. They come in together, place goes bananas. Shatner sits down and says, I thought there was, like, 50,000 people at this convention. Where the hell is everybody? And someone goes, it costs more to get in here. And he goes, how much more? And they go, $400. And he goes, oh, okay. Like, that satiated his ego, which is sort of hilarious. He then goes on, and it was all, like, all the comic book people there. Jim Lee was there, and we were all, like, sitting. Like, I've never been to a panel that I wasn't, like, attending for years. But we were all dying to go there.
Sure.
So we go there, and William Shatner tells a story. It took 30 minutes to tell. About how Leonard Nimoy is always better dressed at these panels, and he always looks like a schlub. So he was going to iron his shirt, and he's going to look better than Leonard Nimoy. But he comes out, he really puts on the Shatner, and he's like, I'm ironing my shirt. And I say to myself, Bill Shatner, you won an Emmy. You have a show on network television, Boston Public, whatever the fuck. Monday, 10 o'clock. You are one of the producers of the Star Trek Legacy video game coming to stores November 3rd. You are the author of this Captain's Log series of books, the final book of which is coming out October 29th. And then it took us like 10 minutes to realize we're in the middle of the longest plug in the show business.
Yeah.
And people started applauding because he did it so excellently. Like, people literally started applauding it. 35 minutes of him and Leonard Nimoy just doing shtick. And then I was sitting next to my friend Mike San Giacomo, who was a reporter who had seen a Newsarama, and we've been friends forever, and he was reporting it for the newspaper. And I did, I pointed to my watch, and I showed San Giacomo, it's been 35 minutes, and there hasn't been a Star Trek question yet, because they won't allow people to ask questions. Like, this whole thing is this thing they've created to stall the inevitable Star Trek questions. 35 minutes later, you think it was a put-on. Guy in a captain's uniform and the taped glasses stands up and goes, excuse me, in episode 49 when the salt sucker attacked us up to your face, and he literally didn't even get to finish the question because the place went fucking bananas like it was Leonard Skinner doing Freebird. It just went fucking crazy. And they never answered the question. The people just applauded and he sat down. Sitting, which I thought was just genius. And then two rows behind us, there was this hard, attractive Asian woman in a bikini. I mean, it was like almost naked, and you couldn't like not see her. And also, she had to fasten giant metal dragon wings to her bikini.
Okay.
It was a big giant metal dragon wings. And so, someone asked a question about Star Trek, and dressed in the middle of the question, Leonard Nimoy literally brushes off the guy and goes, "Well, hold on, kid. Hey, who are you there?" Like, he's all flirting with his girl in the back, right?
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Literally, just like that. And she goes, I am the Dokusu. And he goes, what is that? He goes, I am the sworn enemy of the Starship Enterprise, and I'm coming to take you down in the next Star Trek feature film entitled Battle of the Dokusian. And then there's dead silence, and literally, Shatner just looks at him and goes, seriously, you asked her. It was the most brilliant panel I've ever been on. It was a great panel, and I realized that they kind of invented panels.
That seemed like a good place to stop. That'll do it for part two of the Bendis Tapes. More coming, lots more coming, hours more coming in this Q&A session with Brian Michael Bendis. That'll do it for this edition of Word Balloon. Thanks a lot for listening. This is John Suntress. If you haven't been to the website, come to wordballoon.com. And if you have a moment, fill out our survey. We just wanted to ask a few questions about our audience. And if you'd participate, we certainly would appreciate it. If you have any questions about the show or comments, you can make those in the survey or you can deal with me directly. Email me at john@wordballoon.com. Of course, we're at iTunes, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle. Any reviews or interest through those podcatchers that you'd like to express, feel free. Also, there's the Word Balloon MySpace webpage, myspace.com/wordballoon. Thanks again. More of the Bendis Tapes on the way in just a couple days. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2006. Talk to you next time.